everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. And talking about HR, we definitely want to get to our guest. First time on, Jackie, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Hello, thank you.
If you would, introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll roll into our big question we always ask.
Sure. Again, my name's Jackie Barrett Poindexter. I'm at Value Into Words on Twitter, and I am the owner and partner with my husband on a company called Career Trend at careertrend.net. I've owned the business since 1998 after acquiring it and having worked there for a year. But basically what we do at Career Trend is design game-changing career stories. So that's, in a nutshell, who I am. I live in North Texas on the banks of Lake Texoma, and my passion is the water, sailing, and being in the sun.
Well, those are all fantastic passions, I might add, and congratulations on being in business so damn long. That is being a serial entrepreneur. That is a gigantic accomplishment. So,
well, yeah, thank you.
Congrats. That or you're just completely into self-abuse. One of the two. It's kind of a fine line.
It's true. I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, it's a very mixed personality that you have to have, I think, to sustain through the ups and downs, the battles and the joys and the euphoria and the other side of euphoria.
Totally true. So what currently keeps you up at night and is top of mind for you?
Right. You know, I've thought about that since I knew I needed to prepare. And I think one of the things business-wise and even maybe focusing more on my client base, which are also often clients of HR professionals, careerists, is the dependency for all of us, and especially careerists and people in job search or any kind of transition or wanting to make a move on technology. I love technology, and I use it. I depend on it for my business, so I get that. But there's a fine line between the dependency on technology in any, whether it's building your business or building a career, and, you know, stepping away from it and thinking about things and acting on your, you know, being introspective, if you were.
Oh,
so that's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
No.
So kind of take us, let's dive into what are some technologies, or let's get a little more specific. Technology
yes.
is such a big word, you know. So
yes.
Give me some examples.
Yes. There are a couple of things. One, the first thing I was thinking of are, you know, resume screening systems, the technology that companies, large or small, now have access to screen resumes. And that's very tactical, but it's very strategic at the same time. And I think that's a primary question I get from folks, whether they're hiring me or just people seeking me out, you know, for my opinion, is, you know, how do you play the game? And I think that the question is how do you get away from that game a little bit and focus on other things primarily with that folding into your search and your relationships with folks hiring, whether it be someone on the front lines of HR or someone at the board level. And so it's more about focusing on companies' needs versus, first and foremost, can you use the right keywords and buzzwords. Does that help? That's kind of a starting point as far as the type of technology I'm thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I heard was the fact is don't just kind of check the box and kind of actually dig into the actual content and quality and culture and actually study the companies you're trying to get a job with versus
yes.
just trying to do the generic, like I know they're going to look for, I'm trying to second guess the algorithm or the you
yes.
know, the search string that's running in, you know, in the applicant tracking system.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that because you articulated that well. You know, I intuitively and after a lot of blood, sweat, and tears of someone, you know, let's say that, you know, Jennifer Brown wants to search for a position in, let's say sales. That's kind of an easy one, but because most people get sales. But sales is the driver. But, you know, what type of company is she looking for, small or large, mid-size, what industry, what sector, and what are their particular points of need? Are they in a mature industry? Are they in a startup phase? Are they in a highly competitive geographic market? And really narrow it down, and people are so fearful of limiting themselves by doing that, but by narrowing down your area of focus, and then you can drill down to, you know, a list of 10, 20, 30, 40 companies, you know, and then really get to know, like you say, the culture and their particular needs of product or service deliverable. And
well,
when
and
you do...
Go ahead.
When you do that... It's interesting how the right keywords and phrases will bubble up versus focusing on keywords at the outset. And so, yeah, you know, it's great and it's important to not discount that there are ATS, you know, applicant tracking systems out there. But and so initially, you know, that is going to be addressed through the process of building a good story. But not only is that not the only way you should be, you know, communicating your story, and, you know, that kind of segues into social media and other, and, of course, networking in general, but also you don't want the machine, you know, the ATS machine to drive the whole process.
Sure, and so, and it's actually, it's really tough to be disciplined and not go for instant gratification, right?
Yes.
Like, this is a path. I mean, it does. I mean, that's really because you're already... You're in transition. It's definitely stressful and scary, and it's hard to flip that over and be excited and energized about it because people just are like, I mean, I get that. That's very human. You got to kind of hopefully surround yourself with really good people to support you in your process that are saying, yeah, make sure you do this, that, and the other so you don't get in your own head, because I know a lot of people that play from a point of fear, and it's really, really difficult. Because they're so talented. That's the thing, is that a lot of these folks are so talented, but it's, you know, it's a really unknown place because hiring, let's face it, is a broken process. Recruiting is a broken process. Totally toxic. Very few companies have a good feedback system on what that looks like and updating people. And so it just kind of, it just stays and gets worse and worse. The more that you have a need, it seems like the busier that the people involved in the hiring process are, the less attention they pay to the candidate experience, and it just is kind of self-perpetuating that it just sucks more, unfortunately.
Yes. It's so true, and the fear, and that was another word that came to mind when you asked what keeps me up at night, because I think it's fear, and fear resonates with everyone. In today's economy, in today's world, maybe not especially more than ever. There have been many periods of time, but it feels like it. And so it really reverberates throughout the job seeker's world. And it's like going to the dentist, I often think. You know, you don't really, if you're in a job that feels secure, even for a year or more, you know, may not sound long term, you don't worry so much about your career or career management or networking and or building your brand or your value proposition or communicating that or making sure your relationships are there. And you know, that's just human nature, but hopefully people that are reading more online, because it's a noisy sector, you know, the social media is noisy, but those who are taking the time or seeing it flash through their stream, all the stories that those of us in the career sector are writing about managing your career and portfolio careers and things that of the nature of this at this time in society, you have to be braced for change. Then even if you're shocked when you lose your job or you see your job starting to dissolve in the coming months, you can be more proactive. And you can continue that proactive behavior for a long time to come, even after you secure your next position and your next position. So that's my passion is, besides my personal passions, is with, because I've been doing this so long and I stuck with working with job seekers for so long because there's so much value and need in it and so many success stories when people take a little extra time, whether it's every day or once a month or, you know, through periods of their career to manage it versus being managed, to direct, you know, their course versus feeling like they're just kind of being pushed around in the wind. So.
Well, and that's, you know, and again, it's, and I don't, and hopefully nobody's picking up on a tone that we're being flippant or this is easy, because it's not. It takes
brave,
and it takes taking risk because you're going against the stream, right? The stream is noisy. The stream is, you know, put your application in online. You go through the process. You wait. Maybe you try and follow up via whatever methodology you possibly can. And then
yes,
you just move on, goes away. And that's, and it's really, really difficult. And you got to go, I mean, you know, there's, you know, and the success stories are huge. I mean, the success stories all, in my opinion, the ones that I've heard in the last 6 months are because the people involved in that story absolutely worked their ass off. They outworked everybody to make sure they were sharp, knew more about the company. So when they got the opportunity and they kept following up and they going through the process and they got to the point that they were frustrated and they just were like, oh, the hell with it. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to go in and be myself. And when they got the opportunity, they blew the interviewer away because they knew so much. They had prepared so diligently about everything that company did. And they put the investment in plus 10 and they nailed it. And they got exactly the company, I'm thinking of somebody in specifically, but they got exactly the company they wanted, huge opportunity, and, you know, it's been a great story. But they prepared for 9 months. I mean, they just kept trying and kept trying and kept preparing the whole time, getting their skills up to speed, looking at the areas they wanted to go in they didn't know, they got up to speed, right? It was all, I mean, it really was a landmark effort. And so anyway.
Wow, that's a great story. And that's a great example because 9 months later, when opportunity met with their preparedness, and so it wasn't lucky, it wasn't guaranteed that they would ever have that opportunity, but they were preparing and focused. And focus doesn't mean that was the only company they would ever look at, but they were prepared for that company, it sounds like, and they knew everything about it, so it made it all make sense when it all came together. It sounds exciting, and I want to what you said about, you know, making it sound, you know, it isn't easy, and I never want people to think, wow, she, you know, that we're trying to paint that or be flippant, because I see also many people in my own personal circle as well as my clients who have had to take bridge positions, because whenever we have an immediate unexpected, you know, usually there's signs, but, you know, it feels unexpected when something happens that breaks down our job situation. You might have to accept a new role for a while, but I think sometimes that's an opportunity to pick yourself back up and do things differently going forward. You can look for another job while you're employed. You can, you know, you can learn from a bridge opportunity, or that bridge maybe step into a company at a level that you're not used to, but you build back up. you know, it's everyone's situation is different on what they can accept for those intermediate jobs. But it's not easy. But you also articulated it well about how if someone really works harder than it, you know, those around, just really puts their all into it. That is, and it doesn't have to be painful. You can make that an exciting adventure, you know, to do that, to put the muscle into it. So like I'm rambling now, but I mean, it's a great topic. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's seriously about commitment and focus and dedication. And like you said, when the opportunity, when the intersection, you're at the intersection of opportunity, you do not want to miss that. You want to give absolutely everything you got for that, right? And I just, again, there's folks that have just really, really impressed me because they were on a mission, and what happened is, I think once they got in the role, they were so freaking prepared that they were actually way above average of anybody that actually was existing in the role. So they came into it, like, way put together and, like, hit the ground immediately running, an immediate contribution, because it really was just a transition from preparing to executing. And it's all about their knowledge and skills that applied. And it was you know, again, it was a pretty epic effort, and it was really, really difficult. I'm not bullshitting anybody about this. It was a painful, very emotional process that a friend of mine went through, and you know what? But they came out on the other side with exactly the outcome that, you know, I think they got the return on the investment of the time and the focus and everything that they put into it. And it was nice to see because they deserved it.
Wow, it sounds like you were really involved in the communication, you know, in the process, or at least thought, you know, you were a confidant during the process. And so you felt the emotional results as well.
I mean, it was definitely trying to support, right? Because it's not just like the knowledge and getting people, you know, introduced and all that. It's the emotional support of just keep trying. Just do what you're doing. You can't keep practicing and not getting better, right? Just keep getting prepared, keep getting prepared. So it was that support. So get your team in place to support you, everybody. If there's one thing, close your all people below 13 years old, close your ears. But, you know, get your fucking team together, for God's sake. I mean, you need the support. We need to have the SWAT team, I've heard it put, and we got to have our go team that's going to be like, you know, like pushing on us and pulling on us when we're up and down, right? So, especially
absolutely. Oh, that is so important. And you know, sometimes when people talk about, you know, having your SWAT team, having your board of directors, having your this, having, I think, wow, you know, I used to think, oh, I don't know who I would call to do that. But really, it's intuitive. Who around you do you already know or who you communicate with? And sometimes it's even social media-wise. I have a great support team on Facebook for some of my personal goals, but and Twitter and other places, but also, you know, in real life, and people I call and people I talk to daily or once a quarter. That are who bolster. It doesn't mean they don't give you real hard advice sometimes that makes you go, oh, that's uncomfortable. But you don't want, and I'm a huge proponent, you don't want the negative vibes. So if that means, especially during any kind of job search or career transformation that's rigorous and painful already, you if you need to shut the door or put a out of office button sign up for a while with certain personalities, I think that's important to do. Take charge of where your energy is going, and so receiving positive energy, as you just described, you know, just keep trying. Doesn't mean you're giving someone false hope. It just means you're with people who see your potential and encourage you to keep pushing through and maybe even give you some guidance based on their own experiences that are tangible. That's very important.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's again, just you got to have people that are giving you a mix of, like, support you no matter what, combined with the ones that are like, okay, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to try and put this in a positive way, but here's some things that I think might help, whether you do it or not or whatever. You know what I mean? Just get good people around to be good sounding boards, because sometimes the best feedback is definitely not the feedback we want to hear.
Exactly. You know, it can be as simple as having someone do a mock interview with you, and they say, you know, I keep hearing you say this, and you know, you don't need to say that, or talk about salary discussions. Maybe you're continually putting that discussion out there in interviews either too soon, or you're asking too much. I mean, there are some things that seem obvious to others of us, but it can be one or two things that need tweaked, and someone who is listening to what you're doing may be able to give you quality feedback while still bolstering you on the sides that you're doing well. I mean, you know, it's not all about criticism, but it's not all about giving you what you want to hear.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So what can folks today, job seekers, what can they, just give me one or two things they can start doing today and they can stop doing today. Just don't ever do it again, in fact, if you're seeking a job. If you have any.
One thing that don't ever do again would probably be that's a good one. I think it's any of the broadcast communications, whether it's sending an email to everyone in your contact book with your resume saying, hey, I'm looking, and amazingly, that's still done quite a bit. I mean, I get it from either past clients or people that I know personally, with no real, you know, it just with nothing attached to it, no real focus. So those broadcast communications saying, "Can you help me?" That's not networking. And your other one was what to do right, you know, what to do, what to start to do.
Right.
Was that?
Yep.
I think sometimes it's a matter of slowing down and finding, you know, either finding, if you haven't already, finding a resource, a book. There are lots of books in career management. You know, there's social media books written by folks like Miriam Salpeter and Hannah Morgan. There are resume books. There are career management books like in Martin Yates, but I'm throwing out names just because people maybe that don't know, but also just taking time to strategize what you're doing. And a lot of people don't. That would be,
well, yeah, no, and that's the thing, is probably think it through, slow down as much as that maybe isn't feeling comfortable. It is absolutely being prepared and taking the time to do that is what I've seen the folks that have, even long-term, because sometimes it might take, and what are some of the ratios, like on how long if you, in finding a new job, do you have any of the stats, like, you know, if you have X amount of experience or you're making this kind of money, plan on the average time, you know, for your job search is this long?
You know, the one I still go back to, which I think is still somewhat accurate, and I don't really know, you know, I think the higher up the food chain you are, you know, the longer it generally could take, because there are fewer positions at the senior level, VP, you know, CEO, even director, and so forth, senior managers. But they used to say, you know, a month of search for each $10,000 of salary. I think it may even be longer now. It may be a month of search for each, you know, $20,000. I see people who have, separated from a position waiting a month or two to defrag before they start their search. I get that. I think there needs to be some defrag and some relaxation and transition. But if you can't afford to do that, you need to at least start the process. And process can be fairly simple. Because a minimum, my opinion, of 3 to 6 months to really make a strong transition. You might find a position sooner, but I see it a little bit longer than it used to be, and a little bit longer for people in some of the management and senior management positions.
Got it. Okay. Well, good. Thank you for definitely thank you for sharing that. And
sure.
We've got about 3 minutes left. As we promised it would go fast. And
yeah.
So what are some of the resources that you tend to, like if you meet somebody or somebody is in the family or a friend, where are some resources you can point them to that are general? If you're out there, you're a job seeker, or you've got somebody like HR that you're sharing with job seekers, kind of just give us some ideas of some places, even if it's conversationally. It doesn't need to be a website or, you know, I mean, a URL or anything.
Well, I'd be I have to say that Glassdoor, which I will disclose I write for them. I write for their careers blog. But Glassdoor is a wonderful resource for both for job seekers and employers on so many levels. So Glassdoor, this is an association for career professionals that has lots of resources for job seekers. It's called Career Directors International. So there are a couple of sources that you could even go online and find things quickly. I know there's jobhunt.org, yes. So I'm a very big on, you know, on online sources, so those are the ones that come top of mind.
Okay. Well, that is fantastic. So we just got about a minute left. Let folks know where they can connect with you if they have any additional questions or just want to connect up via social media, and where they can find out your information.
Sure. My website is CareerTrend, CareerTrend.net, and I'm at Value Into Words on Twitter. And I think my URL for LinkedIn is Master Resume Writer.
Okay. Well, that's a well-branded setup you got going there. I like it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and spending lunch with us. Great information. Those are always just good things to hear. And we are out of time. And so, again, thank you, and I'm sure we're going to get tons of downloads, and because it was a great conversation.
Oh, I hope so, and I thank you for the opportunity, Brian.
Perfect. Okay, folks, have a good rest of the day. Be productive, be happy, and we are out of here.
A German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a demand.